I was real tempted last Wednesday night in Bible class, as we talked about this particular lesson thought today that I had coming up in relationships, and I was real tempted to say, well, I've got a lesson coming up on that, or two, or three, and I didn't say anything about it, but I'm glad that I have the lesson nevertheless to be studied and looked at and enjoyed very much. The idea of our relation to heaven itself. You know, our Lord Jesus has scarcely begun the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 5, at verse 12, but that he said, "Blessed are ye when men shall revile you, shall persecute you, shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so persecuted they the prophets who were before you." Jesus is praising those who would listen to his teaching, practice his teaching in life, and give them the hope that they would have, though they were people, as he says there in the lead off of Matthew 5 at 12, "When men shall revile you and persecute you." They revile you, they arrest you. They persecute you, they punish you, they beat you for holding on to this name, holding on to this teaching, though this name and teaching does only good for society and does good only for the people of the family, does good for the neighbors around us. What did Jesus teach us to do that is of harm to anybody that we know? Did he not teach us to love? Did he not teach us to have compassion for the needy? Did he not teach us to serve those that we can serve who are lacking in some way, and somehow lead to them to serve them? Did he not tell us to be honest and dependable? When we make a promise, keep that promise? How would any of those things ever hurt the family? How would any of those things practiced ever hurt the neighborhood? How would being honest and dependable and compassionate and trustworthy, how would they hurt the community in which we live? Wouldn't it help every law office that we know? Wouldn't it help every accounting office that we have? Wouldn't it not help everybody's job-related purpose if we practiced the way that Jesus taught us to live? And in this passage, he says, there are those, though, that will not like that. Why would they not like that in the Roman days? They would not like that because it challenged the rulership of Caesar. Some Caesars of whom had declared that they were God's ruler here on earth. And as a result of that, if someone else came along the way and said, this way is a higher way, this is a more noble way, this is the way of Jesus Christ, and they would say, who's following Jesus Christ? They would immediately arrest that individual, haul them off to prison, find themselves bound, find themselves unfed for long periods of time. They would find themselves persecuted. Jesus said, blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and say all manner of evil against you falsely. They're doing this falsely. They're telling you something that's really not true. It's not my word. It's not the teaching of the Heavenly Father. This is my teaching to you, and they're teaching you falsely. And when you suffer for those things done to you falsely, rejoice. Hard to rejoice when your back is hurting from the lashes that are being put upon it. Hard to be a person who rejoices when you find yourself thinking about the hurt and harm of a hungry stomach, not being fed for 2 or 3 days at a time. It's a hard, difficult thing to be rejoicing unless you have your hope set in the teaching that Jesus gave. Jesus said, rejoice and be exceeding glad. Don't just be happy, don't just tell a joke about it, but be exceeding glad. For great is your reward. You have a reward coming for that suffering. You have a reward coming for that being spoken against so evil. You have a reward coming for that place in which you have been reviled and persecuted. You have a reward. And he says, it's in heaven. This place of heaven is a place in which our relationship with it is a relationship free from those falsehoods, free from those penalties, free from those harms and hurts. Oh, there are harms and hurts that come to our lives for us to be better by. Hebrews chapter 12 talks about we all have fathers of the flesh. We reverence them. Much more should we reverence God, who's the Father of our spirit, that we may live. And so it is the case in Hebrews 12, beginning verse 9, that we realize that we are people came not from ourselves, but from God Himself. Oh, our physical remains, our physical body came from mothers and fathers. We all have fathers of the flesh, and we reverence them. Talks about there how we are disobedient to the Lord and how that He punishes those who are disobedient. And the ways that He punishes them is in ways in which they learn from, they benefit from. I don't want to go back and do that again. I don't want to go back and say those things again. That helps children to grow. And as they form their personalities and form the way of life, that's the time to do that kind of hurt so that it will be realized that this is not something I should continue to do. This is not something I should continue to practice. And when that is seen in their way of life, as they grow older in life, instead of fighting you and challenging you and using words of profanity against you and hating to live there another day and want to go on from that house, instead of those particular years in which they are not thereby trained, it is the case that that becomes a good thing for them. But then when they get old enough to obey the Lord. And I teach people, I have taught people for a number of years of time, that when you get old enough in life, that your first thought about the things that you're saying and that you're doing is how is this going to affect the Lord? The Lord Jesus Christ, who loved me and gave Himself for me. How is what I'm fixing to say or fixing to do going to affect the Lord? Instead of, boy, if I say this and the word gets back to mama, the word gets back to grandma, the word gets back to daddy. Ooh, I don't want that to happen. So don't tell anybody I'm doing this. Don't tell anybody I'm here. Don't tell anybody we're doing this. When those things are being done, it's sophomoric in life, and the children are just children. They're not able yet to obey the Lord. But when the first thought comes in mind, as I've read the Bible, taught it in Bible school, vacation Bible school taught me that, the preacher has preached a sermon about that to me, and I really got it in my mind that what I say affects my relationship with the Lord. What I'm doing affects my relationship with the Lord. And when the first thought that comes to mind is, how can I ever explain this to the Lord? I need to look up somebody that I trust and love and ask them, will you take me to the baptistry to baptize me into Christ? I need to be in Him. I need to be forgiven of my sins, and I need to put Him first in my daily walk of life. I've taught that for years and years on time. I don't have any difficulty with it. I don't know of any brethren that have had any difficulty understanding that idea. It wasn't a matter of putting a child off. I know of those that say, oh, no, you're not old enough to be yet baptized into Christ. And then they are begging them at the age of 19 or 21 or 24 or 28 or 35, come and be baptized into Christ. They put them off. And they put them off in such a way that they dismissed it from their thinking. They never think about what they're fixing to say affecting the Lord. They never think about what they're fixing to do affecting the Lord. They're not thinking about the Lord at all. But to think first He is King of Kings. He is Lord of Lords. He cared for me. He loved me. He gave himself for me. And when I'm thinking about that first, as I'm riding down the road or doing my deeds of play in the backyard, how does what I'm doing affect the Lord? I need to obey him. I need to become a Christian. I need to live faithfully Christian life. And I can do that. He will help me do that. Passage we studied this morning in our Bible study class of 1 Peter chapter 5. That if we're humble before the Lord, he will lift you up. Cast all your cares upon him, for he careth for you. He cares about what we're doing. He cares about the decision we're fixing to make. Dating somebody and fixing to ask that person, will you be mine for the rest of my life? He cares. And so we ask him in prayer, Lord, help me to see, help me to sense, help me to realize what's going on here. And so it is that I make a decision on that basis of the Lord's with us. And the Lord will help us. You know, the woman is told in 1 Peter chapter 3, in reference to this way of life, that if she is a faithful example, she may win her husband to the Lord because he has as yet obeyed the Lord. By the word that he's been taught, he's dismissed that. But he cannot dismiss the wonderful example of his wife. The late gospel preacher, Brother Charles Cole, a fine man, preached for years up here in West Memphis, Arkansas, and later on went down to Florence, Alabama, and established International Bible College down there, training and teaching preachers right and left. He told a story of the man that was baptized into Christ, how it was long years after his wife had obeyed the gospel. His wife had obeyed the gospel, and they would go fishing together. And when he came to be baptized into Christ, Brother Cole said to him, why have you put off so long a time and decided today? Why is it now? He said, well, I'll tell you. He said, I didn't believe none of that stuff that she is telling me about obeying the Lord. And I heard the same messages, and it really did appeal to me like it did to her. And said, I just didn't believe any of it. And he said, ever so often I'd test her a little bit when we were out together. I'd say some words of profanity and see how she reacted to it. If she cussed me back like she used to do that, I'd know that it wasn't real. But she never did. And he said, last week we were out fishing and we were in the middle of a lake out there in a boat. And said, I said something to her at that time that I know. He didn't tell what it was. But he said, I know that if she had not been truly following Jesus, she would have taken that boat paddle in her hand and knocked me out in the water. She would have done it in a moment. She would have started up the motor and run off and left me. And he said, I knew that that would happen. But she didn't do that. She hung her head and she cried. He said, Brother Cole, I knew that that was what I wanted. I wanted to serve a King of Kings like that, a Lord of Lords like that, that would make the changes in my life like I know was made in hers. I said, darling, I'm sorry. That got her attention because I hadn't said that very many times. We made our way back to shore. And I've made my way here. I thought about it a few days after that. We talked about it a few days after that. Jesus ought to be first in our marriage, just like in her life. What about in your life? and your thinkings and your activities? Is the Lord the first thought that comes to mind when you say what you say, do what you do, plan the deeds that you plan? If it is, you're ready. Become a Christian. Faithfully serve Him. Jesus said once again, Matthew 5:12, when men shall revile you and shall persecute you and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake, rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so persecuted they, those men who persecute you, were back yonder persecuting the prophets who were before you. And when they persecuted those prophets, my Father was paying attention. He knew what was happening. And those nations or those people that persecuted my prophets, they fell. One by one they came to a close. Jesus would later on note, and Paul would note, regarding this Roman Empire in which he came. You remember in Galatians 4:4, God sent forth his Son, born of a woman, born under the law to redeem those who were under the law. That's the message that he gave them. And so it was under this time, in the fullness of time, God sent forth his Son, born of a woman, born under the law to redeem those who were under the law. This Roman Empire would not last. Though they had their banners high, and though they had their mottos said, and though they were people who set armies out here right and left to defend their rights, they had a message: Rome forever. Rome forever. But they were not forever. And sad to say, Gibbons in his writings about this period of time will note, as well as others, they fell from within. From within, they didn't obey the law. They couldn't pay the judges. They couldn't pay off the judges once again. They couldn't pay the army to defend them. They were lost from within. Their merchants were people who didn't care. They didn't get the money that they were promised, and they were shorted that money. They were stolen from. They had lost it from within. Their empire came down from inside. They didn't have the Vandals coming in to defeat them. They didn't have the folks that would become the French and the Spanish later on to come in to defend them and defeat them. They lost it from within. There are those who look at history and look at America today, and they tell us that we too are going down the same path. We don't pay attention to how our children are raised. We don't pay attention to how our lives are being lived. We don't pay attention to the ideals of it. And a nation that has been so royal and so good and so blessed, we're praying that others more will come back to that way that's honest and compassionate, dependable and righteous and holy and good and godly. We're praying more and more will come that way. Because the Lord said he pays attention to what's taking place. And back there in the prophets, he says, so persecuted they the prophets who were before you. In Matthew 6, our Lord Jesus there, beginning at verse 20, said regarding our lives, he said, be people that lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven. Don't lay up for yourselves treasures upon the earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven. What are some of those treasures in heaven? Our relationship goes on. It's not just a relationship to the Lord himself, as we've illustrated already, but a relationship to others. We reached out to help others, And when we did, it was like treasure in heaven. When Paul wrote the brethren at Philippi, Philippians 4, and saluted them for once and then again sending to his necessities, he praised them for it. Not because we so much needed. We needed it all right, but we were doing, but we needed this all right. And you helped us once and then again. You helped us over here. But he says, I really am thrilled. I really rejoice that you gave unto this and gave unto us as unto the Lord. What were their gifts and sent over there to Paul and help out the work in Macedonia? It was a gift unto the Lord. Their treasures were being laid up in heaven. When Jesus' disciples came back and said, oh my, the demons are subject to us. Oh, the power that you've given us and the words that we say to them, the demons are subject to us. And Jesus said, rejoice not that these things are subject to you, but rather rejoice that your name is written in heaven. What's our relationship to the Lord in heaven? We'll be at home with Him. We'll be with Him. We'll be there forever. We look forward to that day and time and that hour, for we will not always live here below. It may be a disease that comes upon us. It may be old age that comes to be with us. It may be an accident on the highway before we get home today. It may be an accident when we opened that cupboard, we reached in there for that electricity to see, and we got too far, too close, and too much of a shock took place. We'll not live here forever. But if we're people who do what the Lord said do about this, live the way that the Lord said live about this, we'll have a blessing in heaven, a reward awaiting. We'll have treasure that we've laid up in heaven. We'll have a joy to live with Him forever, for our name is written there. What a blessing. Thank you for listening to your study with us today. This is the first of three sets of studies about our relationship to heaven. And the first is relationship to the Father Himself and His Son and the way that we live here upon this earth. Make the Lord the first in your thoughts of what you say and what you do, and be the kind of person in serving the cause of the Lord. When you realize, oh no, I'm not living that way, come back in repentance and prayer, as Simon did in Acts 8:20, and be a person in repentance and prayer who is forgiven, sins put away from by the Lord Himself, so that we'll live with Him forever someday. As we stand together and sing, will you not come to Him as we stand and sing today?
I've wandered far away from God, now I'm coming home.
Amen.